This is the problem. Take a pair of scales of the old-fashioned...
I always get amazed when I see that giant double-decker plane, the Airbus 380. I wonder, how on earth do they get that off the ground? It weighs nearly 600 tons, as much as a small ship, and yet it flies. How does it fly? Well, the answer is kind of complicated, but it's related to Newton's famous third law of motion. For every action, there is an opposite but equal reaction. An important fact to realise is that air has weight. This was first discovered in 1640 by the physicist Evangelista Torricelli. That's right, air has weight even if it is invisible. Down at sea level, a cubic metre of air weighs about 1.25 kilograms. This applies to our 600-ton passenger plane cruising at 900 kilometres per hour at some 40,000 feet. First, the plane is moving forwards because it's pushing air backwards from its four jet engines. These forces are in balance because it's cruising at a constant velocity of 900 kilometres per hour. And second, the plane is staying up at a constant 40,000 feet because it's pushing air down. Think of a tiny plane, such as the single-engined four-seater Cessna 172. It weighs just over a ton. When it's flying at 220 kilometers per hour, its wings are pushing, vertically downwards, some 5 tons of air each second. And that brings us back to Newton's third law: for every action, there is an equal but opposite reaction. Now, one common but slightly incorrect explanation for flight involves Bernoulli's law. This explanation claims that the air is split when it is hit by the front of the wing, and then meets up again at the back of the wing. It also says that since the wing is kind of flattish on its bottom surface and curved on its upper surface, the distance that the air has to travel is slightly greater on the top surface. Following on from this, because the air on top has to travel further to meet up again at the back of the wing, it has to travel faster. All sounds reasonable. And then Bernoulli's law tells us that if a packet or streamline of moving air travels faster, then the pressure drops. So, because we have lower pressure on the top surface of the wing and higher pressure underneath, the wing rises upward, carrying the plane with it. There are a few problems with this explanation. First, how does the air know that it has to meet up again at the back of the wing? Second, tests in a wind tunnel show us that it doesn't meet up. In fact, the air on top of the wing travels much faster and gets to the back of the wing first. Third, this explanation totally ignores the viscosity, or resistance to flow, of the air. But you can get around this by applying some fancy physics called the Kutta-Joukowsky condition. And fourth, and this one is a doozy, if Bernoulli is the only explanation, how does a plane fly upside down? It turns out that Bernoulli is a minor part of the explanation of flight, but the major part is angle of attack. Imagine you're in a swimming pool and you're moving a table tennis paddle horizontally through the water, edge first. The paddle moves horizontally. Now, tilt the paddle upwards a little at the front. As you move it through the water, the paddle tries to rise towards the surface. Yep, Newton's third law again. So, on large, long-haul passenger jets, the wings are stuck onto the long body or the fuselage at an angle of about 5 to 10 degrees and tilted upwards at the front. This means that while the wings are angled upwards, the body is flying straight through the air, like a horizontal pencil. The big advantage of the horizontal body is that the plane gets maximum fuel economy because the wind resistance is less. And another advantage is that when the flight attendants push those heavy food trolleys along the aisles, they don't have to push them uphill.
It's one small step for man.
Why is it so?